reconvene the May 8, 2012 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. And I'll call the meeting to order. I've reviewed the minutes of our April 10, 2012 meeting, approved them, and have executed them. Before we proceed, do we have any announcements that need to be made?
Mr. Pekelja, case number 2 is in compliance as of May 7, 2012.
That's Stamenko and Dusenka Angelo?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the only announcement that I was told of this morning.
All right. Will all the representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying at this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn?
Solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
All right. With that, we go to case number 1, 400 Beach Street Acquisitions. Is anyone here for the respondent? Okay, counsel, if you would state your appearance.
Good morning. My name is James Stowers. I'm with Cobb Cole here on behalf of 400 Beach Street Acquisitions, LLC.
Okay, Mr. Inspector, we're here for the imposition of a fine. What say the city?
Sir, the buildings are gone. You'll see the photos up in a minute, and we're going to put them in compliance at this time.
You're announcing they're now in compliance?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you don't have any problem with that?
No, sir.
Very good. They're in compliance. What's left out there? This is idle curiosity.
Well, it's the
slabs.
The slabs are still left, and he'll talk to you about that. The slabs are having a problem being ripped up because there's environmental issues with them being ripped up at this time, and they're working with the city to get those environmental issues taken care of.
But as far as this case goes, it's in compliance.
Yeah, the case was in reference to the building, broken windows, paint, and so the buildings are gone.
Very good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. All right, as just announced, case number 2 is in compliance. That brings us to case number 3, Mr. Jaffrudi. Okay. Mr. Jaffrudi is going to take up a sizable portion of our agenda this morning. Do we have any other cases here that do not involve Mr. Jaffrudi?
The new cases, Mr.
I don't want some poor folks sitting around all night long waiting on Mr. Jaffrudi. Okay, so the new cases would be the only non-Jaffrudi cases?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're going to hold off on the Jaffrudi cases just for a moment. We're going to go to a few cases that are not Mr. Jaffrudi so that you folks can get in and out. And then we'll spend the morning with Mr. Jaffrudi. So I'm going to reroute to case number 26, MG Beach Street Investments Company, Blackwell Group, LLC, DBA Sick Boys Lounge, a.k.a. Bad Habits Lounge, St. George of Beach Street, LLC. Is there anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Yes, sir. Step forward, if you would. State your name and be sworn.
My name is Darren Neely on behalf of MG Beach Street Investment.
Can you raise your right hand, please?
Do
you solemnly swear or
Street Investment?
I'm sorry?
MGB Street Investment.
Okay.
Property.
All right, Mr. Neely, on behalf of the respondent, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
No.
All right, let's hear from our inspector. What's the basis of the notice of violation?
I'm going to go to my engineer first.
Excuse me. So my name is Officer Garcia. I am employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. This is case number SMG-051246, City of Daytona Beach versus MG Beach Street Investment Company, Blackwell Group, LLC, Sick Boys Lounge, a.k.a. Bad Habits Lounge, St. George of Beach Street, LLC. Property address is 200 South Beach Street, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel ID number 39-15-33-01-05-0061. The violation is Article 18, Section 6.6 and 6.6A, which is the signs all in the windows, that are taped all in the windows from one end all the way around to the other. The city is asking, based on the evidence provided, it's requesting a fine of $250 per sign, coming to a total of $9,250. And this is a repeat violation. There is a will fine in place.
All right, Officer Garcia, who took these photographs?
I did, sir.
You took these photographs on March 29, 2012?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you took these photographs in the ordinary course of your conducting your business as a representative of the City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Department?
That's correct. It was also a complaint.
And these photographs truly and accurately depict the condition of the signage, if you will, on that day?
Yes, sir.
And that's your sworn testimony?
Correct.
Okay. All right. What say Mr. Neely?
Those signs, I believe, was from the last time we was in there. Those weren't from recent.
Photographs indicate they were taken March 29 of 2012.
That, yeah, those are the same signs.
I mean, so
I mean, they didn't do it again. I mean, it was only like one sign in there, and the property owner, you know, had it removed. I mean, it was only one sign, and when those, it wasn't all those.
Okay, I've got a photograph, March 29, 2012, showing all those signs. I've got sworn testimony from a code enforcement officer saying he took the photograph.
It was just like that one sign.
I got eyeballs in the middle of my head that show me a lot of signs in those windows. So what is it you're telling me did not exist or occur on March 29, 2012?
I believe it had. I didn't. I believe it didn't occur on March 29.
You're saying the photograph's wrong and the officer's mistaken in his testimony.
Well, last time we was in here, they said you can't post out on poles throughout the city. Was that correct?
That's correct.
They didn't say anything about insides of the windows. It's 200 South Beach Street, the only building that can't do it.
That's irrelevant.
Because this other business is on Beach Street that's doing it.
All right. Well, we have a will fine order entered March 14 of 2012 by the Code Enforcement Board. And that previous violation was posting illegal signs on telephone poles and trees. So your testimony is, now you know you can't put them on poles and trees, but you didn't know you couldn't put that many signs in windows?
They only had one in there, what I recall seeing. And now, being that this is going to be another violation, the landlord is in the process of evicting those tenants out. So I also have a piece of paper here from an attorney saying that the eviction process is about to be started on getting them out of there.
What is the nature of the violation?
It's signs that are posted in the windows and taped all in the windows.
Okay, how many signs, or is he allowed any signs in the windows? Not allowed any signs in the windows at all.
It's just only 200?
Just a second.
What he could do is...
I'm asking him a question.
He needs to go...
And if you want to talk, you come up here and you swear. And then don't talk until I ask you a question.
What he could do is he could go to permits and licenses and ask for a signage permit, and they will allow him so many signs, which is probably two, and it can only be, because it's in the redevelopment area, it can only be a 25% rule, which it means that he can only go up to take his 25% much space up per window.
Okay. You understand that now? What is your affiliation with this respondent? What are you? Manager? Owner?
No, I'm not the owner. I'm just the manager.
Who's the owner?
MG Beach Street, Marie Gendy. Marie Gendy is the owner. To avoid any more of these violations, the property owner is going to evict.
Okay, counselor, I'm looking at a notice of violation. The description of the violation is illegal signs. The notification makes reference to a will fine entered 3812. I've got a will fine dated 3/14/12. I'm assuming that's the will fine we're talking about. Or is there another will fine order?
I believe there was only one.
Because this will fine order...
The hearing was on the 8th, but the order was signed dated the 14th.
Because, not that I'm here to do the respondent's lawyering form, but this will fine only talks about poles and trees. It not only confines itself to poles and trees in the findings of fact, it also confines itself to poles and trees in the order itself. Had it left off the poles and trees part in the order, just made general reference to the statute, perhaps I'd be doing something different. So I don't know that there's a will fine violation here. Now I'm getting ready to put a will fine order in place, because we're going to clarify this once and for all. But my question here goes to, well, my question is whether or not you want to be heard on the matter before I do anything.
Yes, I guess on 2 points, I will acknowledge that the notice is here. I don't see the will find reference in the search for that. But the order will find was based on the testimony that was taken on March 8th and was signed on March 14th.
I am looking at the correct order.
The correct order will find, yes. As to the reference of the violation itself was a violation that was identified as Article 18, Section 6-6, posting illegal signs on telephone poles and trees. I guess the only response would be that the statute for relates to repeat violations. And again, I don't know what our old fines were, really trying to pinpoint a little better, but the statute that relates to repeat violations is someone doing a violation that would be something that had been previously found in violation of a prior ordinance, without me actually pulling it. I'm sure that's a relatively accurate penalty, whether it's been pursuant to law or pursuant to a code board action. The ordinance that was violated before was Article 18, Section 6.6, which is still the same ordinance. Granted, the terminology of the language did take the steps of specificity when it went to speaking of poles and signs, but it is the same ordinance being violated. I think one of the things interesting about the whole facts is related to the notices that Exhibit B and Exhibit C of the package shows that the inspector had given 10 days and given full notification of what the sign ordinance said and what they were permitted to do, given 10 days to remove it. And I believe
talking about the current notice of violation or the former
notice? Talking about the current notice of violation.
Right. Well, I have no doubt he's in violation of the current notice of violation.
But I think he had 10 days of opportunity of clarification on that. Apparently was, I don't know if it was overlooked, ignored, or what the circumstance was regarding that.
How long did those signs remain up after you asked them to be removed?
April 11th was the compliance date, and on April 11th there was just two remaining. I spoke to Marie Candy on May 1st, where she stated in a couple of days that she would have someone over to remove those final two. I put down compliance date as April 11th.
So from March 29 to April 11, we still had signs up.
Correct.
Are the signs gone now?
Yes, all of them gone. Everybody.
Can I impose a will fine at an initial hearing?
Yes.
We've had this question before. Can I see Article 18, Section 6.6?
Yes. I'm sorry?
Can I see Article 18, Section 6.6? Because I want to make sure my next order is broad enough to capture everything that can happen in the way of illegal signage.
Okay. But he has it in the pack.
I believe it just says regular sign for 6.6A. That's in the following page also. That's why I put it in the picture.
I'll provide you with the full copy from the Land Development Code, which I think there's just one more section that was being cut off of Section 9 as well. Another subsection.
Okay. Based on the testimony I've heard, I'm finding the respondent to be in non-compliance. And so that there is no confusion in the record, I'm specifically speaking right now of case number SMG05-12-46. It's my understanding that the respondent is now in compliance, so with that I will also make the determination the respondent is currently in compliance. I'm going to further add that for every future violation of Article 18, Section 6.6, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Okay. All right, you're not getting fined today because I've determined that those signs, as illegal as they are, warrant being removed, could be something for which you could be fined in the future. But the will fine upon which the current fine was requested for, in my humble opinion, was narrowly confined to circumstances that I'm not seeing here. So that having been said, there is no will fine today, but a will fine is now in place. And if the respondent, and so I would urge the respondent, whoever that may be, to familiarize themselves with the code and ask the code department what is or isn't permitted. Because for any future violation of the code, whether it be poles, whether it be trees, whether it be windows, whether it be dogs walking up and down Beach Street, I don't care what they are. If it falls within the parameters of that code and you've violated it, then you're going to be returned here for consideration of an imposition of a fine. So please have your owner educate himself or herself on what is or is not permitted. And let me also add something here. And I'm going to try to say this as diplomatically as I can. We don't care how many managers you have. We don't care if a new manager came in and didn't know squat about what he or she wasn't supposed to do. We've covered this topic now several times. And so regardless of who's at fault for violating it, the respondent will be held accountable. So I only tell you that to urge you to tell any new managers you may bring in, as well as your current managers, be wary of the city sign ordinances, because if they're violated, ignorance isn't going to be an excuse anymore. That's an administrative task the respondent's responsible for. All right?
All right.
Good luck to you. Leave that there. I want to talk about that. Case number 27, Piotr Gorodetsky. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning. Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. Case number CE20120618, City of Daytona Beach versus Gorodetsky, Piotr, P-I-O-T-R. Property address is 215 South Oleander Avenue, Daytona Beach, city limits. Parcel ID is 0915-3307-210120. This property has, the pictures you're about to see are true and accurate of what I observed. This property has minimum housing issues. Before I go on, I would like to say that I received a letter from the property owner early this morning stating that the property is a quit claim deed in lieu of foreclosure, stating they have no interest on the property. If you'd like to see this.
To your attorney, what does that mean, Tony? To us.
Quick claim back to mortgage company. It's unrecorded. It is just a quick claim deed, which is what it would be for generally under a foreclosure. Just had a brief This portion hadn't come to the magistrate yet. Had a brief conversation with the fire inspector. There are some life safety issues. I think generally, the added caution, we probably would generally just add them and give them the additional time. But the time that the fire inspector wants to allow is very, very limited because of these life safety issues.
This building occupied?
Yes, it's currently occupied, and it has the tenant just put water and electric and gas on the property. So the other issues is just minimum housing issue and fire issues that was cited by the fire inspector.
I just wonder, I'm sorry, one more thing. I guess one of the difficulties here with this quick claim deed is it's not recorded. We don't even know if Nation Star Mortgage or Wells Fargo has even accepted it. Well, let me correct that because, I don't know. We don't know. There's nothing that tells me that it's been accepted by the bank. It's just been issued or drafted on behalf of the grant. Whether the grant has to receive and accept it, I have no knowledge.
I would also like to add, Mr. Bacalja, this notice pendants on file and the property appraiser still states the onus as noted.
All right, well, I mean, I'm planning on going forward. I guess one question would be whether or not you're going to amend to add somebody else, but I'll leave that up to you.
I would like to go ahead and amend to add them, and based on the representation, and they can clarify that in the future.
Who am I adding?
Nation Star Mortgage out of...
I'm sorry. What's your contact with the owner?
I have made no contact. This is the first letter I received from the owner.
That's a letter, right?
Yes.
What you did again, I had left this letter.
Which is
the correct address that was issued a violation on.
I think they're going to be left, at least off my position, Mr. Cavendish, that we're going to have to just leave that to them to deal with after the fact. There's nothing that even validates that. It's not a sworn statement. He's not having availed himself to present some information to the inspector. So there's nothing that validates other than the fact that, again, I have a notarized quick claim deed without unrecorded that was drafted in Utah, I think it was.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Inspector, how much time to come into compliance?
30 days.
Okay, and the fire department want to be heard from?
Okay. That's the next case.
Are we adding Nation Star Mortgage?
Yes, if we can, please.
I was not going to.
No?
Oh, okay.
I got the impression we were just going on with what we got.
Okay.
All right,
so I've heard everything I need to hear on this one then. All right, then with that, I find the respondent in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by June 6, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of imposition of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
I think we have an occupational license issue also.
Yes, a rental property.
Allow the respondent until June 6, 2012 to come into compliance with its occupational license, or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of the $250 administrative fine for failure to obtain occupational license. Now we got it covered? Case number 28, same respondent, Piotr Gorodetsky. Let's say the city.
All right. David Newell, City of Daytona Beach Fire Department. This is case number SMG05-12-48, the city against Piotr Gorodetsky, however we say that. This is obviously the same case we just heard. I have not had any kind of response until this morning when I received the same thing that the code enforcement officer has received. We've tried numerous times to get in touch with them. The violations that I've cited that are still not corrected have to do with not also the business license, but we have some electrical issues dealing with extension cords, more importantly some smoke detectors. We've got bars on windows that are the egress access for some bedrooms. and a commercial sign that's required on the property since it is rented. They are in non-compliance, and I would like to provide a 72 hours after notification of the new company to be corrected, because these each one of these could be done within a day. That's what I'd like to request.
All right, so what do we have here? Separation from structural items, from life safety issues between these two cases?
Correct.
And that's what it kind of looks like. All right, you're wanting 72 hours after notification.
And that's for the life safety issues, which deal with, you've already addressed the business license, and then the other part that has to do with some of the structural instability here has to do with the building official that has not been brought before you yet. But the rest of it that's in my notice of violation that they have received, the smoke detectors, the bars on the windows, the electrical issues, dealing with the actual sign that they can get right up the street, can all be handled within a 24-hour period. I'm asking for 72 hours to get this completed. We do have people living in the property. It is not the best of properties. And like the code inspector said, there was no water, there was no gas, there was nothing on the property initially. Some of that stuff has been corrected.
Mr. Kelly, if I can ask a question. David, is there local management on anyone that would be associated with ownership?
No, there's not. The I believe that the lady who is the one of the lone tenants that are left there has gotten something to say that she has the ability to get the water and everything turned on in her name. But as far as a manager is concerned, to my knowledge, I've had nothing. Any dealings that we've had with this property, we've dealt, the code enforcement office and myself have dealt mainly with the person who is the person staying there. They have not brought back, and actually the owner, or who was the owner, has not turned around and sent any correspondence back until I received this morning.
If we can have just a moment, Mr. McKelton.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let me tell you what I'm going to ask for while you're consulting. First off, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. I'm going to ask you to identify the life safety issues that you want attended immediately, because I'm going to have our secretary make sure that our order reflects those are the items that you want done on an expedited basis. And then the remainder, I assume by the next meeting, is what you're talking about.
Okay.
Mr. Kelton, just had a concern as far as our request for 72 hours and our ability to notify the owner.
Somebody in New Jordan, Utah, wherever that is.
Right, regardless of who that is. It may be a little more reasonable for us to ask for 10 days just for so that we have that opportunity to, even though we may not have a green card back, we'll at least have the opportunity to know that we've had a greater likelihood of reaching or pursuing someone.
Side's fine with me.
So we'd like to know that we...
I'm wondering how you're going to get notice to them, but...
Yeah, without a hand delivery, it'll be very difficult for us to do a 72-hour, although I think that was a very appropriate and reasonable request. But in terms of ensuring that we've given adequate notice to take the next action if necessary, I'd ask for, as I discussed with the inspector, would ask for 10 days on the life safety issues, and we'll just get it out as quick as possible and trust that we'll get something back telling us that it got there or didn't get there.
Is the fax number that was on there, is that a personal fax, or is that like a fax?
I don't think I have a fax number on here anywhere.
This came in hard mail, right?
Yeah, this came in.
Okay.
Yeah, it came in regular mail. No. And there's nothing on here that, again, being a quick claim deed.
Yeah, we're not quite even sure whether notifying the mortgage company is going to do anything. So
we have an 800 number or a phone number to get in contact with them.
Immediately get on it, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
For the benefit of the expedited portion of our order, could you identify for me in this laundry list of violations the life safety issues that you want done within the expedited term you're talking about?
The smoke detectors, the bars on the windows, and the lock on the door. Number two, I don't know if you have the same, two, three, and six. The removal of the bars on the windows in the bedroom, the smoke detectors, and the removal of the lock on the door.
On the exit door.
On the exit door, correct. Those are the three.
All right, then. I will order the respondent to come into compliance on those life safety issues within 10 days or by May 18th, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until those items are in compliance. And I will further order that the remainder of the items be brought into compliance by June 6, 2012, or failing that, the respondent be brought back for imposition of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter until the property is in compliance. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. I believe that clears the deck for Mr. Ali Darren Jafrudi, case number three. Before we get started, somebody want to give me an overview as to what we're doing with Mr. Jafrudi today?
Yes. May 2nd was the compliance date for both properties, for the entire thing. We are here. We have not met that compliance date. There's been three re-inspections since the initial inspection on November 22nd. And
most recent one being when?
May 2nd. And
so now we're going to go one by one through them to see where we are on each one.
Yes, sir.
Very good. All right, case number three, Mr. Jafrudi, 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 137.
Are everyone
going to
be testifying?
Yes. Whoever's going to be testifying, stand up, identify yourselves, and be sworn.
Jerry Hurley.
Sir.
Brian Ballard. And Michael Bruckner, Riverside Construction. Michael Bruckner. B-R-U-C-K. N-E-R.
You're from where?
Riverside Construction.
Yeah, and you're...
Darren Jafrudi.
Can you all raise your hands, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yeah.
Can do.
All right. Case number three, 10 Allison Lane, trailer number 37.
Give me a second. Mr. Magistrate, before we get started with the specifics of each trailer, I'd like to state for the record that there have been no permits pulled for this property other than the demolition of one trailer. And to my knowledge, there has yet to be a contractor officially on board.
Okay, case number three, trailer number 137. Matters here for the imposition of a fine for failure to come into compliance on our order of compliance of February 14, 2012. Let's say the city, where are we on this one?
Mr. Picozzi, unfortunately, I believe that these pictures have once again been taken out of order. To be quite honest with you, to make it short and sweet, every last trailer is in non-compliance grossly. None of the violations have been corrected. on any of the structures, any of the common areas.
Okay. Mr. Giuffrudi, I'm told you haven't done anything on trailer number 137. What do you say?
Well, can I respond? Last time we were here on February 15th, okay, I was put on notice of hearing on for a series of SMG cases, okay, meaning special magistrate, all right? I told you at the time I was confused, okay, because what happened was what was started being presented was CE cases, okay? The orders that were issued were SMG orders. If you reflect back, if you go back onto the computer, okay, you have a series of CE that I was not put on notice. I may have been served with the violations, but I was not served with affidavit of hearing, okay? And it, we kind of switched out packages. If you go on the city's computer site, you will see that, which raises a procedural issue. I try to straighten that out, okay? And there has been discussions. And so if you went on the city's computer site, you have CE orders that I have never seen. I have SMG orders. Notice of hearing for SMG cases. Instead, what was presented was CE cases, okay? I've never received orders on those CE cases. You signed a series of orders for SMG cases. In other words, the package that he had presented, I was not put on, I was never served a notice of hearing on, okay? When I got here, we were addressing a separate package, okay? The orders even prove that. I can show you this.
Well, yeah, let's have the city respond. I'm having a little trouble appreciating the significance since I've got photographic evidence indicating not much work has been done. So,
well, we have a
procedural niceties, quite frankly, are sort of escaping me right now. But in all fairness to you, I'll let the city say what it needs to say.
Can I
sure.
show you more?
Mr. Ficalda, to clarify the confusion.
Hang on a second.
You go on the site. You see there's a series of orders, or a CE. Any way you look at it, you got to pull it up by my name, because you can't go by the property addresses, okay? Well, there's correspondence between me and the inspector afterwards.
What talking about as well.
There it is.
See, look. There's an affidavit of service that I've been hand-delivered the notice of violations, but there was never an affidavit of service but a notice of hearing. What you signed
were a series.
An affidavit of service of notice of what hearing?
On the CE cases. There was a totally different package. That I came here on February 15th and I tried to explain that, okay? And then the orders that you signed were SMG cases. And I kept trying to get clarification from that and I couldn't. So we have CE cases that they're bringing before me, okay, that I have never seen orders on. As opposed to SMG, which obviously means special magistrate, I would imagine, as opposed to a code enforcement. It was almost like there was a switch that day in documents, but what I'm saying is I never received an affidavit of hearing to be presented on these cases right here, nor have I ever seen it. I have never seen an order on a CE case. I was not presented that day. It was switched around. And I was trying to make that argument. I did make that argument on February 15th. If you notice, there was a lot of confusion out of me that day. I have not seen an order yet on a CE case.
We're here on SMG 212-18, and you are unaware that these matters would be rectified by May 2?
I'm not saying I'm not aware, but what I'm saying is what we have is we have, when I'm being brought in front of us for C orders, okay, that I was not put on notice of, hearing them. I came over here, and he switched and started going on CE cases, okay, that I was not put on notice of hearing. I raised that issue at that point in time, and it was almost like the package, well, I'm not saying almost, the packages were switched.
Okay. I'm looking at what appears to be a lot of SMG cases.
I would agree with you totally.
Mr. Kelter.
So what has this got to do with anything?
Because what happened today, he didn't present the notices of violation off the SMG cases. He went on a different package on CE cases.
All right, I've seen your stuff. Why don't you go ahead and take it back there? All right. Who wants to respond for the city?
Mr. Couch, I'd be happy to
start by fashioning for me what this dispute is, because
certainly
still hasn't settled in.
Yes, this is something that Mr. Jafudi raised back in February and was addressed then. He expressed that there were a lot of CEB orders. There were reference to CEB case numbers, which were a numbering system referenced by the Code Enforcement Division, and that was he was informed of that back in February when he raised that issue, that the CEB ones references an internal case number because they hadn't gone to the magistrate yet or code board, and so that's what that list of numbers were. There's a whole list of them, and the very first page, I think, of the packet, or in that first set of the packet, it kind of lists all of the addresses more referencing this CEB number. Not CEB, CE number, code enforcement number. But once that was addressed in February, one of the things that I recall you, the magistrate, doing was ensuring that we understood which property we was talking about by identifying it by the address, by the location, and then each one by the violation, and each one of these cases were given as always. Once they came to the special magistrate, case number, and that case number was on all orders that have been issued and everything that has been supplied subsequently to Mr. Jafudi. So I'm not sure what the confusion is. I know what he's saying, but I don't know why he's confused based on what occurred back in February.
It's a procedural issue. Because what happened was when I came in here, I was prepared for SMH MSG cases, okay? I remember them giving it to you, okay? And then he switched over, okay? On an affidavit of service.
You've already said, go back there. You've already said this two or three times, and quite frankly, I guess I'm just not appreciating it yet. Explain to me how you were prejudiced by whatever it is you've been attempting to
do. I was not put on proper notice that we were going to hear the package that he was
so
presenting.
You didn't know, for example, that in case SMG 212-18, you had this list of tasks to take care of by May 2 of 2012. Is that what you're saying on the road?
What I'm saying is I didn't even bring...
My question. You didn't know that in this particular case, you had to take care of these tasks by May 2, 2012.
Is that
the result of this confusion?
There was orders issued to that effect, yes.
There was
orders of issue, and I tried to clarify it.
Talking about where you are on compliance.
There has been progress being made, okay? There was affidavits attached to, supposedly, to each and every one of them, okay, from the fire department. We addressed all those. We addressed the state issues, okay? A lot of them overlap in various forms and fashion. There was just, you know, a lot of confusion.
I'm going to make one last stab at this, because I've yet to appreciate. So what are you saying? It went from CE to SMG?
I came here on February 15th with a notice of hearing, okay, to be addressed on a package that was on SMG, okay? During not on C, on a package that was addressed on CE. There was never a notice of hearing served on such, nor have they never provided me with such, even though I've tried to obtain such to them. I don't believe he can produce it.
Do the notices of violations change whether they're listed as CE or SMG?
No.
I mean, I'm looking at CE, 10 Allison Lane, trailer 137, and I'm looking at SMG, 212-18.
The CE number is purely an internal tracking number that has nothing to do with the proceeding itself. Once he's notified and given notice of a board proceeding, it's given a board number, which is the SMG number. He was notified.
What does SMG stand for?
Special Magistrate.
And CE is just code enforcement.
Yes, that's correct.
And if I see CEB anywhere, what is that going to mean?
Then that would be the code enforcement board.
Okay, so CE is just a sort of generalized code enforcement
tracking number. That's correct.
When they open up a new case in the database, it assigns it the case number.
I guess what I'm ultimately saying is I came here for a series of CE cases, okay? Well, SMG cases, okay? What happened was I didn't bring that package or whatever, and then it became a switch, okay, where I wasn't given a notice of hearing on the CE case package. There's no affidavit of a notice of hearing, nor can they produce it, because I've tried to get them to produce it. And if you just read through the correspondence that goes back and forth between us, okay, then he says, go look on the computer. And I'm seeing if you can even find it. You can't find it under the property address, because I can pull it up. I did pull it up. My contractor even had a problem pulling it up, okay? It takes some skill and some knowledge. You can't go under the property address. You couldn't go under 10 Allison Lane because they've always confused the numbers on
it. Spare me the travails of cyberland. I'm not interested. I've been here. You've been here. We've talked about these violations. We've talked about how much time it was going to take to bring them into compliance. You've told me how much time you were going to need. I did it. I don't care about what's happening in cyberland. Right now, I want to know where you are on the compliance with that task list right there. And what you've attempted to explain to me has done nothing to demonstrate to me how you've been prejudiced by this confusion that you're trying to explain to me at all.
Mm-hmm.
So where are we on compliance?
Well, my position is we've complied with the fire department. There is exhibits supposedly attached to the CE cases.
I'm talking trailer number 137 right now. Okay, we need to get out of gross terms and start talking specifics here. I'm on trailer 137. This matter here is before me. The city's asking me to impose a fine. I'm trying to find out why you're not in compliance to determine if there are any mitigating circumstances that would cause me to.
There are mitigating circumstances on top of it.
I'll hear those mitigating circumstances right after I hear the quantum of work that's been done, so I can measure the effort you've attempted.
Mm-hmm.
The quantum of work that's been done is what?
Well, if we go back and we look at the violations, okay, there is exhibits attached to the violations, okay, from the health department. Okay, the health department was all cleared up, even do a second inspection within the last week. Okay, last week we had a second inspection with the exception of one item, okay, we were cleared. All right, were cleared
so
at the time
of
that hearing.
Which items on this list of violations are you
health
telling
department
me you're in compliance on?
I'm in compliance with.
Okay, because I don't see health department. Are you talking perhaps infestation?
In your book there's a notice of violation with exhibits.
See, and it gets confusing.
Mr. McCallum, here's the report from the health department. Next step.
John, what's the date of that report?
May 2nd. Yes.
Okay. Okay, and what does this do for me? Mr. Inspector?
Sir?
What's the relevance of this?
This is just in his response to saying that the health department signed off on his violations. That's clearly contradicting what he just said.
Not whatsoever.
Okay. I don't see this making reference to number 137, and I've yet to hear you make any reference to number 137.
Well, I'm making reference to that because if this was attached as exhibit, I'm trying to, you know, not make it a long, drawn-out process. Is what was done. If you look, initially when I was cited, okay, here's the occupational license that was issued. Okay, that was only issued. He's showing you at the time that wasn't even an issue. I had them come out again yesterday after they did a second inspection last week. Okay, and that's what was left as of yesterday after a second inspection. At the time, this was not even an issue when I got cited. They came out, I believe, on Wednesday of last week.
Does this address 137?
It addresses all the units. Just attached as an exhibit according to their CE case in your order on the magistrate's. Yes, it addresses all.
It says unsatisfactory. I can see that the comments and instructions are different. Is that what you're directing me to?
That was a second inspection done after the first one. The first one, he cleared it, and they issued the
occupational.
Yeah, you know what? Here, take this. You take that. You take this. And forgive me for being as dull as I am, but I'm going to ask this one more time. What have you done to bring number 137 into compliance?
Well, this is part of it, because
if you
looked at the order, okay. Then there was a second exhibit, I believe, that dealt with there was exhibits for the fire code, okay? I'm in compliance with the fire code and all the health safety issues. A lot of the health department issues were overlapping another exhibit from the building inspector.
Depicting the condition of trailer 137?
Yes, sir.
Any current photographs, or the most recent photographs we have? May I see them?
They'll start with the trailer. Which one? 137.
All right, Mr. Jafruti, let's look at some photographs for a moment. Is that number 137?
Yes.
Does that condition still exist?
Yes.
Any more? Is that number 137?
Yes.
Does that condition still exist?
Yes.
Any more? Is that number 137?
Yes.
Yes.
Does that condition still exist?
Yes.
How many more do we have of 137?
Two more, sir.
Go ahead. Does that condition still exist?
Yes.
And is that 137?
Yes.
Any more?
Last one.
Do those conditions still exist?
Yes.
And is that number 137?
Yes.
So you are clearly not in compliance on number 137?
Clearly.
Okay. Now, why not?
Well, during all of this, okay, and I mean, I'm bringing personal issues into this, all right? There was a court order issued out of March 5th, okay, out of Orange County, all right, that had to deal with, well, actually it was out of a divorce proceeding that had been going on, okay, that had made a determination as to whether I was the sole owner of the property or my wife had an interest in it, okay. March, I was making the argument that ultimately, and I have the orders with me, okay, the argument that non-marital funds were used to purchase the property, okay. The court ultimately determined on March 5th that we became tenants in common, okay. And then there was a series of, obviously, financial issues as to bank accounts and so forth that were issued, and there was I can show you the order, okay. I would not like it entered into the record, okay, but I can show such. All right, that there was a series as far as bank accounts and so forth, okay, as to how everything was to be distributed. As of today, okay, those have not, what the judge asked to do in that case is finally coming down to being done. I'm going to show you the order, but I don't want
to see your divorce orders. I already know what you're talking about. I'm assuming what you're telling me is, as a result of this divorce, your wife got some sort of equitable distribution.
My bank accounts were locked up until
some ownership interest in this may have been conveyed to her by order of court.
Correct.
If the city wants to join her as a respondent, that's their business. Doesn't let you off the hook at all.
Well, one of the issues was, as far as the accounts that I used to fund this, all right, were also locked up until a certain series of events occurred, such as the determination of her attorney's fees and things like that, as to what she's been was given and so forth. And it went even one step further. Huh?
Is this unit occupied?
No, not whatsoever.
All right, go on. You're telling me all your funds are frozen, you can't afford to fix anything.
Well, they're getting on to it, all right. When we came in here February 15th, the trial was March 5th. There was a 25-page order issued out of the judge in Orange County, okay? The real estate was an issue, okay? Two, my bank accounts were an issue. One of my bank accounts were frozen up, okay? And there was a series of procedures that had to be followed before I was able, when we came in here February 15th, I wasn't even predicting that was even going to be an issue, and it became an issue. I would like to show you the order from Orange County.
You want me to read your divorce judgment?
Well, I mean, you want to go ahead?
I'm sure something? It'll be entertaining. I don't know how relevant it's going to be. You're going to tell me about his divorce?
No, sir. Not at all. I'm a contractor. And I know him, and I want to make a statement. Sorry. So we don't have to. Maybe it'll help.
Maybe.
If
it'll help, let's give you a shot.
All right. My name is Michael Bruckner, Riverside Construction Services. I'm a general contractor. I've known Mr. Jafruti for quite some time. He asked me probably a couple months ago to help him out on his trailer park. All right. And he was going through his divorce, like he said. And I know that's not relevant to the properties, and I understand that. But I was trying to get information from him, and I'm out of Melbourne, and I work a lot in Miami also. So he was talking to me, asking me to help him, and I was asking for the information, et cetera. And he was running around, getting all, never really got anywhere. But this last few weeks, I was trying to look online, and I had the SMG numbers and I had the addresses. I think maybe that's what he was trying to get at. I couldn't find anything. I talked to, I called the building department, and the gentleman was really nice. I think his name is Rob Roberts. Mr. Roberts is very polite. He said, I tried to meet with him. He said he was too busy. I understand that. I sent him a couple emails. He sent me replies. He was trying to find out how I could get on and find that. Mr. Jafruti did find out finally just at the end of last week that if you put his name in there, these CE cases came up. All right, so I've been trying to help him out. He's retained me to work, come in here, pull permits, and do the work which ever needs permits and that type of thing. And I've been waiting and trying to do this with him. All right, and there has been some confusion, trust me on that one. But I've been waiting to try and do it, and I did what I could online until he gave me his last name, which unfortunately was Friday. We didn't know. I didn't know what a CE case. No, I was just looking for anything. I did talk to Mr. In one of the email correspondence, he said there's pictures, and I'd never seen any of this. So I didn't know what was up, what we were against so much as he was just reading off some paperwork, that I didn't have or wasn't able to get hold of. So I just wanted to make a general statement that he did try with me and that I'm willing to work with him and work on this, if you gave him some more time. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
What, if anything else, did you want me to look at, Mr. Jafruti? You want me to hear it? You want me to see it? I'll do it.
I think of what you said. I do think it's relevant because I wasn't predicting this on February 15th.
All right.
Okay.
Step back. If you do, other people are going to get mad at you and run you back. So step back. Is this property addressed in this judgment?
Yes. right there. I marked it on that first page. I marked the first and second page of your depth. You've really looked at the whole thing. I just don't want to. Your house on the registry of the actions to share.
It's a pretty bleak picture of anything being accomplished here.
Well, this also shows a second motion. Okay.
Mr. Kelja,
here, the court registry for Orange County.
If you intend to rely on those documents for making any determinations, I'd ask to be able to review them to be able to rebut any basis for any determinations that are being made.
His divorce decree is not going to factor whatsoever into my determination, so you don't need to see him.
There. Take it all back.
And now, notwithstanding your plight, we find ourselves back at the same question I asked 20 minutes ago. Why isn't it in compliance? And now a new question. How much longer is it going to take to come into compliance?
If I may.
And having shared your financial circumstances, let's try to be honest about what you can actually accomplish.
Well, I didn't show you the numbers. Obviously, I whited out the numbers in there, okay?
Just don't want to find out we're all wasting our time here.
We're not wasting our time.
All right. Then
I wouldn't be here.
On number 137. And at this pace, we're going to be here for a while. We have a few of these. Just remind you. 137, when's it going to be in compliance?
Is there any way to get 90 days to do the whole package?
Now the whole package?
This whole section, right? Everything. That's the only thing that I can do to help. And like I said, I know Mr. Fruity didn't have money at the time. He had all these issues. So, I couldn't bring a crew. I couldn't do anything. So I was just saying that it's possible we can come up and do that. So he did make an effort. However, due to all these other circumstances, it just kind of fell apart. So he's trying to do it, and I'm trying to work on it with him.
Okay, Mr. Inspector, Mr. Giuffrudi's representative is suggesting it's going to take 90 days to bring this into compliance given its current state. Based on your last inspection, how long would you estimate it would take to bring number 137 into compliance given its current state?
Mr. Vakelja, before you answer that, could I just speak to one issue as to related to Mr. Giuffrudi's representative and his representations. He's representing that he's a licensed contractor in another state is usually not, there's the possibility of not being completely updated, but what I'm getting an indication from the state record is that his license is in progress, that he doesn't have a...
Who are we talking about?
This gentleman.
I'm sorry.
That may be incorrect. I don't know, but that's what the reference is. I have some concern of him taking on this position of confusion of these numbers as a contractor, seeing that he has the availability of an inspector throughout. So I don't know if 90 days, and I'm just asking this from the perspective of the whole question as it relates to this representative.
We're getting so far afield in this mess that I'm feeling weary trying to bring some sort of structure to bear here. Now, no, Mr. Bruckner, you don't need to respond.
Okay.
Now, the question is, Mr. Inspector, given the current state of this unit from your last inspection, it's being suggested 90 days are required to bring it into compliance. What do you say?
30 days.
30 days. 30 days from May 8th, it is June 8th. Our cutoff is June 6th. Are you suggesting 28 days is sufficient?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Giuffrudi, are you going to have trailer number 137? And I'm really kind of exploring this as something of a microcosm of a obviously a much bigger picture.
Yes.
Are you going to be able to come into compliance with trailer number 137 by June 6th?
I have to revert to no. I'm not going to be able to. I mean, we're talking about more than one trailer. We're talking about a lot of trailers. Okay. My intent has always been good. Okay. Prior to all this happening, I was usually right on everything, okay. And I got it done. I've never been in front of a board so many more times in my life.
Fruity, over here, focus. All right, 137. How long is it going to take you to come into compliance with it?
I think it's going to take 90 days in reference to what we have.
We have a lot of cases, okay? We've got a lot going on. We've addressed them. I've addressed them on a minimum budget, okay? There's water bills involved. There's legal aid involved. There's all kinds of issues running. I think I've done a very good job of going in there, given under the circumstances that I've been performing under. There's daily maintenance issues that have to be addressed with tenants. I spent a lot of money on the fire department, not the fire department, but bringing everything up to, I rearranged all the extinguishers out there, smoke detectors, had it all redone. There's been money spent. It's not like I'm making any money right now off of this, okay? It's not like I'm trying to hold this thing up because I'm putting large dollars in my pocket. Not whatsoever. I am running negative. The water bill on this property runs over $3,000 average on a month. And the property's not bringing, it's being locked up. Just on a daily basis, okay? We have issues that have to be addressed. If somebody's stove goes out, you have to buy them a new stove. You have to go get them a new refrigerator. There's water bills for tenants that are not paying, and stuff like that. The water bill on this property is tremendous. Over $3,500, $3,600. There's no money being made here. I'm not sitting here.
As I go through cases 3 through 25, am I going to hear the same refrain from both sides, 90 days from Mr. Chifruti and 30 days from the city?
Yes, sir.
Is there some rhyme or reason to these particular cases, 3 through 25, and by that I mean, is that like a particular section of this park or a particular street, or are these intermixed throughout, or is this the whole place? Can you give me an overview on these cases?
Mr. Vicalja, the cases that you have before you are individual trailers. It's a trailer park.
Right.
It's a common ground. There's individual trailers there. Each trailer that we've cited to you and brought before you are the ones that are in violations, including the common ground area also.
So these go throughout the park?
Correct. Now,
are there more cases in addition to these that are pending before myself or the Code Enforcement Board?
No, everything's being brought before yourself, sir.
And everything is subsumed within these cases, 3 through 25?
Yes, sir. The position of the city is we've been dealing with Mr. Giuffrutti since November, and he's been put on notice. He's had ample opportunity. He's spoken to not only Officer John Stenson, but he's also contacted me on numerous occasions. We've gone there. We've done numerous inspections. We receive every single day complaints from the neighboring, from his neighbors, as well as his own tenants, complaining about the conditions of that trailer park. We're going on 6 months dealing with this, and now he's asking for 90 days. That is why we're taking the position of 30 days as a maximum, or 28 days, which would actually be the cutoff for him to come into compliance. He came up with an excuse now of his divorce. That's a personal matter. But I got notified of this past Friday, and I told him he had prior knowledge. He should have brought that before yourself and explained that. At no point in time does he cooperate with us. He waits till the final deadline, and then he seeks guidance.
Okay, what has been done out there since this has started?
He's tore down one trailer. He did it without a permit, and then he got the permit. Other than that, the grounds are being kept clean on an appearance level, but there's fleas and everything all over the place. He has done absolutely nothing.
So we've removed one trailer, and even that was in violation for not getting a permit. And aside from maintenance, that's it.
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Giuffrutti, tell me what you've done in regard to rectifying the violations that you're having to deal with.
Addressing that trailer that he just referred to, okay? That trailer on January 3rd, because it was a Monday, January 1st being a Saturday of this year, okay? I came back on January 3rd. Somebody had ripped into the trailer. City Hall was closed. It was already bad. Somebody ripped it open worse. I made a decision call that I did not want that thing collapsing on anybody. I tore it down, okay? Then came back and got the permit. I spent, actually, a lot of money having the park, what he was talking about, fleas and infestation and so forth. I spent a lot of money having a company come out from Orlando, all right, treating the trailers, okay, for everything from rats to fleas, spraying each trailer, even termites if so necessary. So that's not necessarily true. There was numerous stuff. There was fences taken down. A lot of the fence issues were not mine, okay? They were the neighboring properties. They were was falling over and so forth, okay? A lot of what I did was undone on top of it. So there was more than just that. There was fences taken out. There was issues as to power points that didn't serve. You saw those two, one of the trailers. There was caps put on electric. There was a lot of other things too. Actually, I have a whole list of items working off the first set of violations, okay? Because I had to try to organize this in a way that it was manageable. 110 Painton Lane was repainted. 105 Allison Lane was repainted. I got a whole list of trailers that were repainted, pressure washed, addressed in some form on the outside, and that was off their first list that they served out in the back. Debris removed from roofs, outside storage. There was issues as there was suggestions by the building inspector as to certain other items. I addressed those. There was issues as to closed sewer lines. That was addressed.
Okay, let me ask the city. I'm running out of questions here. I settled into my comfortable spot here between the rock and the hard place. Is there any way to prioritize this list? Is there work that should be done earlier versus work that should be done later versus trailers that should be worked on first as opposed to things that require? In other words, I'm not particularly enamored with the notion of a blank check for 90 days. I'm skeptical that 30 days is going to get it done. The city wants to go ahead and just start finding the man, that's their prerogative. But my last question is there any way this work gets staged over the next 90 days to where it's feasible to say you're going to have 30 days to do this, 60 days to do these, or 90 days to do these? Or are what we are talking about are problems that are endemic throughout the whole thing? If they're endemic throughout the whole thing, then the answer is no.
That's correct.
All right, that's what I suspected.
I did also, okay, and he's not here today, see Jack Miller.
Mr. Bruckner, come on up here and let me talk to you for a minute. Is it Bruckner?
Yes, sir. And I've been, may I say, certified in the state of Florida since 1998. And if you punch that number in, you'll see they never had anything.
Okay, you hold yourself out as a construction man. That's good enough for me. Are you familiar with these units and the work that has to be done?
By these pictures.
Seeing these pictures is the first knowledge you've had as far as the work that needs to be done?
Yeah, that's correct.
So then you haven't seen these laundry list of units and the work that has to be done for each one of them?
No, sir, I've not.
So you're not in any position to render an opinion regarding which of these units could perhaps be brought into compliance sooner than others?
No, sir, could not. Not honestly. I had tried to do that, like I said before, but I wasn't able to access it properly. It wasn't by nobody else's fault. I just didn't have the right information.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And are all these units occupied?
The majority of the units are occupied except for the ones that they were said aren't inhabitable, and we've never had them occupied. We tore one down. There was other three that were inhabitable. One was actually used for storage for an old bar.
Okay, we have a number of people sitting out the audience. Were you people wanting to be heard on this matter or any of these cases, just out of curiosity?
Right. Yes, this is some of the residents from the trailer park, and they're here to testify about conditions.
Did you want to be heard?
Yes.
Or were you just coming to watch?
Whoever wants to be heard.
Don't mean to be rude, but just give us your names, be sworn, and I'll give you each 2 minutes to tell me what you got to say.
Good morning. My name is Stephen Wilson. I'm a resident there at 111 Allison Lane. 111 Allison Lane.
Ma'am?
Okay. I'm Melinda Barrett, and I'm at 125 Madison.
My name is John Noel, and I'm a resident at 105 Allison Lane.
Hi, I'm Jamie Hayes, 127 Madison.
Hold on just 1 second.
Hey,
Hayhurst?
Yes, 127 Madison.
Okay, if you all would be stand up and be sworn.
Ms. Ballard? Barrett? Ms. Barrett, 125 Madison, you said?
Yes.
Okay. Now raise your right hand. Please do solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to provide. Is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, sir, I believe you were first.
The problem that I have in my trailer is in my restroom, there's a lot of mold. The whole bathroom needs to be redid, period. From roaches to rats to termites to fleas, it's just ridiculous. It's terrible. I can't sleep there because of the simple fact of the mold. The mold is darker than this, whatever. Well, anyway, I can't stay there. It needs to be fixed. And this has been going on since last year, okay, since September of last year, and nothing still has been done about the situation. I don't know what else to do. It needs to be fixed, period. Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Again, my name is Melinda. I'm at 125, and it is terrible there. I have tried to fix things there myself, but I can't do it because I don't have the funds for that. And I have asked him over and over and over again to try to do something for the rats, the roaches, even the fix the floor in my kitchen after the sink tore up. They promised one of the code enforcement that they was going to do my floor once it dry. But you can see that it's not done. And it's just an ongoing thing. They picks on you. They fight with you. They just antagonize you. They just... Because I guess they're in control and we're not. So they putting everything on us like we're tearing up the trailers.
Let me ask you a question. Don't get mad at me. Why do you say that?
I don't have anywhere to go right now.
Okay. And what kind of rent do you pay?
I was paying $550 at the time. November the 21st was the last day that I paid rent. And it was like half rent then. Until all of this, you know, came about with the code enforcement, and we've been withholding our money. But, you know, I've been going to motels, you know, time to time when I do have my income right. But they just won't fix nothing. And I know it's sad because I should be somewhere else, but I just can't do it right now.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is John Noel. I'm a resident at 105 Allison Lane. Before I moved to this property, I was hearing that the property was nice and all that good stuff. So when I moved in, it was the other way around. And then they was working at my trailer little by little. They was telling me that they had to wait till tenants pay rent and stuff. But after when the code enforcement situation got into it, then they just stopped working on my trailer. Every time I ask them for help, speak to your lawyer, they'll boo me off all the time. So now it's getting worse now because the house is just falling apart. So now I have to wash dishes in my tub. I put an out of order sign on my sink, and the is infested with rats, termites, all that good stuff, sir. And I'm in the kind of situation. I moved in now, and then I was paying rent. I have all my rent receipts, my FPL bills, until code enforcement told us that to withhold our rent. And then now it just I'm working with with two parties, but I'm even humble with them. But now, they always boo me out. They say, talk to your lawyer, and they won't do nothing. My point is, sir, the place is getting worse, and they won't work on it and stuff like that. And when code enforcement came to my house the other day, under the sink, water was spraying on their suit and tie, and they can test, so under my sink. So all I'm saying, sir, the place is getting worse, and I'm very humble. I speak to both parties, and they won't fix my place because they said I would have to speak to my lawyer before anything would happen with legal aid around the corner. And that's all I have to say, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I moved in to 127 Madison on the 1st. Stuff they have been fixing.
On the May 1st?
Yes, of 2012. Yes, I have seen them try to fix things. You know, like my door. My front door was a glass screen door. They switched the door out, and it doesn't fit. There's gaps at the bottom. They did put metal up so you couldn't put your hand over. But the electric is pretty bad in there. You know, yes, I did. I needed a bigger place. I moved from Silver Sands to where I'm occupying now. The floors in the kitchen and in my bedroom do need some work. You know, I've spoke with Mr. Darren and his people. You know, I just, the doors and everything just need to be properly fixed. I have no problem with paying my rent. It's just I'd like to have a suitable place for my husband who has peritoneal dialysis and my children who are also disabled.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
One more. It's just very quick. I'm very scared for my life because there's open faces, like with electricity where you plug in. There's open faces all over. I got shot just the other day, and I would love for code enforcement to come to my house one more time. I'm very scared for my life on that because I'm not an electrician, and I've been I would like to okay. I opened my cabinet. There's wires sticking out. I got shocked, so I would like to talk to them. Okay, another thing. I'm going to put wire ties at the end of them because I'm very scared of my life. There's open faces all over the house. Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Jafruti, come on back up.
Can I address what they just told you?
No, I've got some questions of my own. Where are we going with this?
Well, here's what's happening.
I mean, there's a lot of work to be done out there. You've asked me to look at documents that tell me you don't have the financial ability to get the work done.
No, I didn't say that.
You've got the city breathing down your neck. You've got these people living in squalor. So where are we going with this?
That's really what they're saying to you. Okay, what's happened is this. Legal Aid's got involved with the assistance of the city of Daytona Beach, okay? John Noel, who just stepped up here, okay? This is pictures of the porch that he tore apart. Yeah, I'm sure John may even have pictures previous to this, older. Okay.
Okay, stop. 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 Sit down, sir.
Okay, yes, sir.
Sit down.
I served them a notice of intent to enter.
I asked you where we're going with this thing.
Well, there's going to one.
You either go global on me, telling me that, you know, there are these misunderstandings regarding identification numbers on a whole fistful of notices of violations, or we start talking about who's doing what on somebody's porch. Where are we going with violations 3 through 28 here?
We're going to get them fixed.
How are you going to do that?
Honestly, some of the tenants are going to have to be evicted. We did notice of intent to enter for every month. They don't allow us in, okay? They're getting a free...
Okay, I don't want to give you 90 days, all right? So you and your contractor, if you even want to consider me thinking about that kind of time, are going to have to formulate some kind of plan that I can see, I can appreciate, and that we can monitor. That's the only way that's going to happen. You want to take a few minutes to go talk to them?
Yes.
I don't even know that... Anyway, take a few minutes to go talk to them.
All right.
Okay, just for the city's benefit, while they're chatting, in a last gasp effort to try to make some reconciliation out of all this, if that's even possible. Not having to filter out all the things I'd like to say. I guess give some thought to how these people could structure something over the next 90 days, were I inclined to do it, that we could actually have some milestones in place, that if they weren't accomplished, it all ended there. That's the only thing I'm even inclined to consider. I've tried to look at this from 50 different facets, trying to figure out, can we just fix those units first? Can we fix that area first? Can we get this done first? Because I'm trying to get us from here to there. But anyway, so just food for thought. How quickly can you convene one of these meetings? How much time do you need a special magistrate meeting? Say, for example, within the next 7 to 10 days?
Right.
Or is it does? I mean, I don't know administratively how that happens.
The only, just getting, the biggest thing is notice. And if someone's able to be hand-delivered notice,
well,
that's,
if we can stipulate the notice right here, will that suffice?
Thank you.
Okay, folks, let's talk for a few more minutes here. Okay, Mr. Bruckner, my question was to what extent anyone would be able to map out how this work gets done. First off, am I to assume you're going to be the contractor of record?
As of right now, yes, sir.
Okay, well, I guess my question is, for the moment, is there any way to kind of map out how all this work gets done over the course of the next 90 days such that I could actually establish certain milestones, the failure to complete of which would render it all moot?
This gentleman talked to me about walking through the property and pointing out each thing to me. And I feel that if you take, regardless of, I mean, obviously every trailer needs X amount of work. So just take a group, you know, me, I don't know how many, I think there's 30 group them up in fives, try and get five done at a time, something like that. Take pictures, pass them, get those done, move to the next five. I don't know. Something that can be done in pieces, I agree with you, because just leaving it as a whole would not be a good deal for me. I want to get it done and get done with it. You know, I don't want to be stuck here 90 days from now holding some empty permits. So, you know, if we did five, I know you don't need a permit for every violation that's in there, but there's going to need permits for the windows, for the doors, etc. The floor, I don't know about the flooring, or repair work. You know, you don't need permit for everything, but as far as that goes, you know, I would just take and section it out. That's what I would do. You know, you can even pick the five worst ones. What difference? It doesn't make any difference. You know, maybe section them out and walk through and say, these are the worst. Let's get these done. Let's start on those, you know, and then get you guys to come out and do maybe weekly or biweekly inspections. I don't want them to be waited till, you know, wait till the end. I mean, I don't want to get involved in something that's going to, you know, lock me up or put me in any bad position. I've been doing this for a long time, and I don't want to get hammered here. You know, I wanted to help, and I want to get paid. So as long as I'm getting paid and we're signing them off and we're doing the work, that's fine. I'm willing to work with, you know.
All right, let's say the city. Any method that can be interjected into this mess? Or is it just going to continue to be an all-or-nothing kind of thing?
Mr. Vakelch, what will... The city's concern is we're concerned about solutions, and so we understand that the concern of the magistrate and how we can come up with a solution. The difficulty is that the first concern we have is for those trailers that are occupied that have tenants, and we realize there are landlord tenant issues and other things to deal with. But what we're experiencing is that the property is still being advertised on Craigslist. I don't know if the priority is going to whichever one is easiest to make look nice for a re-rent, as opposed to resolving where people are actually occupying and utilizing these units. But if there was a point of prioritization or prioritizing, our prioritizing would be towards those units first. That are, as we had before, life safety, and unfortunately even for our life safety issues, those that we had addressed previously, they've reoccurred after we've addressed them and said they were okay, as things such as smoke detectors and so forth. Reinspections have shown that they were up, then they were down, and things are just on a constant flux. Yes, we'd love to see something that takes a priority and get done, just some good faith going forward and knowing that people need a solution and that there is one, as opposed to us walking away with a fine and not knowing that something's being done. So, yes, we would like to see that. Do we have how that can be done or the plan? The property has so many problems. We have issues we don't even understand or know, such as the economics and so forth. The formulation of a plan as a whole from the city is today we don't have that. There's some properties that maybe Mr. Jafruti's taking an effort to, or made a decision in his mind that he wants to improve that, quite honestly, may be better off condemned and pulled out of there. And it may take us having to take a city action to condemn them if that's what's necessary. We haven't been able to make those types of determinations. Our obviously our hope and desire is that Mr. Jafruti, since November of last year, would have been doing something and moving forward and making the changes to show that his good faith was in place. But at this point, that just hasn't happened. So do we have answers? No. We have ideas. We have thoughts. We have concerns. And as I said, the greatest concern is we know that there are tenants. We know that there are properties that need immediate improvement. We also know that there are life safety issues.
You're not going to find this guy a zillion bucks right now. That doesn't do one thing for the tenants.
We understand.
It doesn't do one thing.
I don't know if anyone else.
City of Daytona Beach may relish the fact that there's a trailer park somewhere down the road, but as far as the people who are living in those trailers, I don't know that it accomplishes anything. Now, if that's the only outcome, then that's the only outcome. Okay.
There has been a much more serious drive to the thought of if we had a fine under 90 days, it'd probably be moving and trying to move forward on foreclosing. No, I'm saying
you don't need to think about that.
Different statement. If it was fined, that we'd probably be trying to move forward on foreclosure after a 90-day accrual. However, we know that foreclosure takes forever, and that still doesn't change the conditions where we are today.
The only additional time that gets given from here on out is time that's earned. And when I mean time that's earned, that means portions of this project are in compliance. And I understand it can't all be done simultaneously, so that means prioritizing. Okay, let me ask you this, and I don't want our inspector getting mad at me. I know you've been out there a zillion times. Okay. Is going out there to meet with this contractor, enable both you and he, independently, I'm not asking you all to agree, to at least be able to report back to me as to how you would prioritize this work. And by that I mean, you know, these 8 units we want done first. Or within 20 days. It doesn't even have to be 30 days. Within 20 days. Within 40 days. Whatever it may be. Because, like I said, if I give Mr. Jafruti time, it's going to be time that's earned on the basis of what he's accomplished. Is that something that's even feasible?
My supervisor and I are more than willing to meet with the contractor on property so he can prioritize what needs to be done.
For you guys to agree, I'm just talking about you to verbalize this is what we say needs to be done.
Right. We have no problem with that.
He wants to argue about what he hasn't done and why he doesn't think it's required to come into compliance. That's his prerogative. So I'm not throwing all you guys into a bottom of a jar here and hoping you're going to make nice. I don't care about that. I'm just talking about this contractor, and if this contractor disappears, well, then, of course, we're done with that, unless there's another contractor that step right into his shoes immediately. All right, well, the only thing I'm kind of thinking of right now is how quickly can you meet with their contractor out there on the site?
Today.
We'll make it happen right after this.
Okay, and are you two all that we need? I see a lot of people standing around here. Are you two the only ones that we need in order to put these people on notice as what needs to be done, or do others need to be out there as well?
Sure. I was out there yesterday. So
because what I'm envisioning here is by Friday or Monday next, and I don't care where we meet. I don't care if it's at the Crystal on the corner of Mason and whatever. But all I want to hear is your laundry list as to how this could possibly be compartmentalized and what units he ought to reasonably be able to get into compliance sooner rather than later, and I guess put off the harder ones until later. Does that sound like common sense? Okay, and then I'm going to hear his laundry list, and then I'm going to fashion a program, and I'm going to require certain things to be done. It might be 10 days, it might be 20 days, it might be whatever I glean from what you're telling me, but the additional time is going to be contingent upon that aspect of it having been brought into compliance. That's the only thing I can think of, because like I said, I'm not just giving away another 90 days. Does that make any sense?
It does make sense. Yes.
I'm chanting everybody to a miserable alternative, but it's either that or just start putting fines on every unit.
No, we can meet, excuse me, we can meet with him today to discuss to prioritize. I'd like to put out there first, before we even make the meeting, one, that we stop advertising this property for rent on Craigslist, because all he's doing is moving people into trailers that have already been cited with violations. And two,
I'm telling you right now, if there's a unit that's on this list that's occupied, I'm not going to order him to evict people. But once those tenants move out, I am going to order that they not be occupied until they're brought into compliance. I'll tell you that right now. We're not going to perpetuate this.
That's correct, sir, because that has been occurring, and we'd like to put a stop to that.
I don't have a problem with that.
We need a list of all his tenants, then. If he wants to show good faith, then he should give us a list of all his current tenants and every single unit that he has now.
Okay, I don't know about every single unit. All I know is I want the respondent to notify the city. I want them to give them the identity of the tenants that are currently on this list. I'm not going to require the tenants be evicted. I wouldn't do that. But once these tenants move out, I don't want the units occupied again until they're brought into compliance. So I don't think that's unreasonable.
No.
All right, so then what we're talking about here is somebody from the city getting together with you, the city giving me your laundry list as to how you think, or what you think is the most efficient way to get this whole bundle into compliance over the course of the next 90 days. And by that, it's probably, the only thing I can think of is, well, these units, you could probably get into compliance relatively easy and early. These are going to take a little more time, and then these are going to be the hard cases. But the subsequent time is going to be predicated upon compliance with the initial stages. We all on the same page? Mr. Jaffruti, we on the same page?
Yes.
Okay, then when will you be prepared to report back to me as far as what you see happening? And when will you be prepared to report back to me?
Next Thursday?
This Thursday. This Thursday.
That is
going to meet today.
Okay.
Friday.
Yeah, we'll make it Friday. We've got a couple.
We're the ones giving the report to you, not the secretary.
No, you're saying have another meeting.
I just want the information.
Okay.
Tony can figure this out. I'll issue an order, perhaps. I don't know. I'm trying to get it done. I just want his information. I want your information. And all I want you guys to do, you don't have to get fancy. You don't have to be a laundry list of what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. You can just say 137, 115, 102, 119, 112, 30 days. Here's another batch, 60 days. Here's another batch, 90 days. And in deference to the respondent, because I am trying to make this happen, I'm assuming the most time you will allocate to the units that are going to need the most work, or are going to be the hardest to come into compliance on. So I'm trying to get the easy ones done first, middle ones next, the most amount of time required for the harder cases. That way Mr. Jaffruti gets 90 days on the things that are going to be the most difficult to deal with, and he gets less time on the things he ought to be able to bring into compliance relatively early.
Mr. McKelvey, my suggestion on the way to do that would be for us to fashion an order and have each party submit in writing this plan with the hopes that it'll be detailed and sufficient. And if there's some need to dialogue on it, that we set an emergency hearing in the future if we need to next week or something.
Let me emphasize here, I have no desire to micromanage your gentleman's business. I'm not here to tell inspectors how to do stuff. I'm not here to tell contractors and landlords how to do stuff. So the only thing I'm envisioning is just units. If you want to give me a brief description as to why this one ought to be earlier and why this one ought to be later, that's fine. I'm not going to object to that. But what I'm going to do is I'm basically going to compare your two lists. I'm going to try to find as much common ground as I can, and then as far as today's process is concerned, we're just continuing this. We're continuing this for me to render the order we're talking about now. And then what I'll talk about is I got compliance dates over the next 90 days of June 6th, July 3rd and August 8th. Those are the compliance dates. And I'm looking for each of you to tell me which ones you think reasonably should be done by June 6th, which ones you think reasonably could be done by July 3rd, and then the hardest ones I'm going to consider allowing to August 8th.
Mr. Vakelge, I would ask if you, instead of saying continuing it, if you're taking the order under advisement so that you can issue the order without an additional hearing.
That's fine.
And as I said, if you feel the need for a hearing, of course, we can easily set an emergency hearing and everyone can come in and we could talk.
All right. Well, I'm happy to meet with you people if you want to meet on Friday. If you just want to deliver stuff to me, I just want it done. I don't want to start any arguments here, but there's been issues regarding service, and I'm going to want to know exactly.
Delivery of documents is fine. The city is more than ready for that, and well, I would ask that they're the party, as well, Mr. Jafruti and his group. They'll all get together, and as you said, and go out and prepare documents.
I'm having a heart attack over all of this. I don't mind coming down to City Hall on Friday. To look at your list and to look at his list, and then having an order by Monday. I'm not
sure that you put a public.
Yeah.
My question is, if we have to do
we'd have to get a public meeting.
Public meeting, or can we meet and
at the public meeting?
Discuss it.
It will be a public meeting. So either. I know Amy's concerned she's not here. So Monday, if you want to do something like that, or...
For Amy's sake, and she's going on vacation, so... How about we say a week from today? This gives everybody time to prepare, gives everybody time to...
What's going to happen a week from today? We're going to reconvene?
We're going to reconvene, and we'll have the full report for you.
Okay. If we're reconvening, then continuance is fine.
Right.
So...
Okay. When we reconvene, I don't want to duplicate whatever it was we did here today. So then we'll meet here next week. Do we know if this room's available?
I'll have to check and confirm that, if this room's available. If not, I'll put another room notice. I'll set it up for another.
I want you to give Mr. Jafruti and his contractor your card, because I want you gentlemen to check directly with her, because as it stands, we're planning on meeting here next Tuesday sometime, but we're talking and we don't even know if this room's available right now.
It may be a different room.
So if it gets moved around, I'm going to put the burden on you two to stay in touch with the secretary to find out exactly what room and what time we'll be meeting. And I'm going to leave it with this. I have not made my decision yet. I will say, Mr. Jafruti, I'm not inclined to just give you a blanket 90 days. I'm trying to fashion something that gets us from where we are to where we need to be. I know it's a tall order, and I know emotions are running high around here. All that having been said, this is my job. So what I'm looking for from each of you is your method by which the job can get done. I know he's already had 6 months. Put it aside. Tell me how we get the job done going forward. And you gentlemen get realistic about what you can accomplish and when you can accomplish it. And what I'm talking about fashioning is I'm going to say this is going to happen by 30 days. And if that is not in compliance, then the 60 and 90 days don't happen. They don't happen. It all comes to a screeching halt right there. And then it's just here for the imposition of a fine. But I've talked enough.
Do I just need to coordinate a time with Colette?
Yes.
Do you know if you're available?
Okay. I'll make myself available.
Okay. So my only other question is, are we doing a blanket continuance order of all of these cases?
Yes.
For the meeting next
I'm
week?
I'm continuing cases.
Of
I have cases 3 through... ...25 before me. Every one of them here for imposition of a fine. All right, I'm continuing that determination until we meet next Tuesday. And at that point, we'll hear each side's respective construction schedules, for lack of a better word.
Compliance plan?
There you go.
Okay.
There's a person whose glass is half full. We'll look at both sides' compliance plans, and then somewhere in between, I'll fashion what I can, and then that'll be it. All right?
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
I'm within his office, Mr. Jackson's office, so my number should be, my name and number should be on that card as well. And I have yours, and is it okay to fax the information or email letter? Okay, great. I can email you the documents and everything. Okay, great.
I'm going to have my
Did we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
You said you wanted to discuss plans.
Oh, yes.
Sign question.
I'm sorry. No, I'll discuss that with the attorney. Okay, if not, then.